Welcome back to Speakeasy with Seth and Scott. My name is Seth.
And my name is Scott. Welcome to the Speakeasy.
Welcome back to the fucking Speakeasy, then.
I'm Scott.
And I'll Seth, that's who I am.
And welcome to the Speakeasy.
We're celebrating St. Paddy's Day.
St. Patrick's Day.
St. Paddy's Day was last Sunday. I hope you all enjoyed it and had a great time. We are here. We had some corned beef and cabbage 2 days in a row. That's always a thing you do.
And we're drinking black and tans.
Are you going to stick to the Irish accent for the whole episode?
I don't think I can.
It's okay if you do. I'm just curious.
No, I went in English. No, I'm done now.
It's fucking St. Patty's Day. The day that the Reverend St. Patty went and he killed all of the pagans. I mean, snakes. Definitely snakes,
you know,
and not pagans.
They never had snakes in Ireland.
No, it was pagans. He murders pagans.
Oh, is that the allegory?
He's murdering pagans!
Because they have never had snakes in Ireland.
Yeah, that's what that means. You didn't know that?
No, I haven't done my history.
Yeah, it's just a fun allegory for genocide.
Oh.
Of druids.
And
of
we Gaelic celebrate druids. That by drinking every year.
And we celebrate it by getting fucked up, we do.
And corned beef and cabbage.
Well, it's just one of those things where you celebrate it. You know, Easter. Most people that celebrate Easter just treat it like another barbecue.
They roll out their rabbits and eggs and dye their eggs. And
yeah. Most holidays nowadays are just commercialized traditions.
Christmas, no one... I bet hardly anyone ever goes to, like, church. We used to when I was a kid.
I mean, numbers are down, for sure.
They had, like, a midnight thing on Christmas Eve, mm-hmm. where you would go to church.
Yeah, midnight mass.
And we did that a couple times. Well, it wasn't mass, because we weren't Catholic.
You're not Catholic. You're Methodist.
I've had so much beer today.
So. Yeah, well, you should stop. At least you're wearing green, though. That's nice. You're
wearing
green on green, though, and I do find that a little bit discomforting.
And we are drinking black and tan.
You said that twice now. Now, what's in a black and tan?
Well, typically it's a lager and a stout.
Which you have done.
Now, the stout is less dense than the lager. So if you pour it correctly, and if you go to our Facebook page, I've got some great pictures of it. You can float the stout on top of the lager.
And it looks beautiful.
It does look beautiful, and it tastes beautiful.
The only problem is I hate it.
You don't like beer.
I hate it so bad, I don't like beer.
You're not old enough to appreciate beer.
I'm what?
Well, you're just not that old man into the beer.
I haven't been there, you know, worn down. I do like some beer, I don't like this beer. It's not good, I almost just gagged.
You don't like Guinness?
I like Yingling, and Guinness is good sometimes. Together, I don't like them. It may be because the last time I had Yingling, I threw up. And maybe that's what's giving it funky vibes for me.
That could be. That could be. But your uncle came back from Texas and bootlegged me up some Yingling.
I don't think bootleg is the right word. But yeah, your brother did go down to Texas to visit your son. That was nice. I heard they had a good time.
They did.
And he brought you back some Yingling, which is not sold here, and you like it.
We all love it.
Well, I usually like it, but for some reason it's not doing it for me right now.
And your brother loves it. And, technically it is bootlegging because he took it across distribution lines.
So it's illegal. You're admitting to a crime right now.
I don't know. It might be a crime. Might not be. It's like taking Coors beer across the Mississippi in the 80s.
Why would that be against the law?
It was against the law.
How? Why?
Well, there was a whole movie based on it, Smokey and the Bandit.
I never watched Smokey and the Bandit.
Well, you should.
I fucking shouldn't. I'm in a really bad mood right now.
You should watch the Smokey
I haven't been
and the
all
Bandit.
Day, but right now, specifically, I'm grumpy. Bitch. What are you talking about?
Smokey and the Bandit.
How are you today?
Like I said before, I have pounded a lot of beers on St. Patrick's Day.
We had Rubens. They were very good.
Yes.
The French fries were good. They were cold by the time I got to them, but they were good. And what? They were good. I mean, I love corned beef. I'd honestly eat it every single day of the week. It is my favorite meat.
Yeah, now, I made some the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I took just a little tiny container with me to work.
I'm the one, I made it up for you.
Yeah.
I gave you a good hunk of meat.
It was an okay hunk.
I gave you two hunks of meat.
It was filling. It was enough that I was like, I wasn't like not hungry.
Well, you didn't ask for a whole bunch.
But then I get home and I made two of them. Like 6-7 pounds of corned beef.
Uh-huh.
And I get home and there's no corned beef left.
There was corned beef left.
Yeah, just like the bits that had dispersed through the liquid.
You had gotten some corned beef when you got home.
Not much.
And I only had two helpings, and they weren't huge.
And I bet you picked the corned beef out of all.
I didn't.
Well, maybe
specifically. Make your own damn corned beef next time.
He needs. I did make my own corned beef.
Oh, you did, still.
But I didn't get hardly any.
Yes, you did. You got plenty.
So, I'm going to make more now. Because now, corned beef is going to be cheaper.
Well, yeah, that's really the time to buy it is right after St. Patty's
Day.
Yeah,
exactly.
Really, the time to buy anything seasonal is right after the event at Seasonal 4.
Oh, yeah, right after Christmas, you can buy Christmas trees for, artificial trees for, like, pennies on the dollar.
Fair enough. Well, we went and saw Dune 2 recently. Dune came out in, like, I think 2021 or 2022. Dune 2 recently came out. For me, it was a religious experience.
The whole movie is just fantastic.
One of my favorite directors now. It's such a good movie. People have been comparing it to Star Wars, watching it for the first time when it came out in theaters. You were there when it came out in theaters. How are you feeling about that?
Okay, well, I was 6 or 7 years old when Star Wars came out.
So you barely remember it?
Oh no, I remember it. I remember standing in the line out the door around the building just to get in. And every theater in the complex was playing Star Wars.
I wonder why it was so popular.
It was just so brand new and so prolific.
No one had ever done anything like that before.
No.
Is what you're saying.
Not on that scale.
And now, I would argue that nobody's done anything like this before on this scale.
I agree.
These people spent like a year in the desert to make this movie.
I totally agree. This was the most spectacular. The cinematography, the special effects, bar none, are the best I have ever seen.
It is almost like a work of art. Like, the movie itself, like, obviously movies are art, but this itself, I don't know, like, every single scene is majestic. Like, every single frame is majestically shot. It's just like, and every frame is an art piece in and of itself.
Every scene made you feel something.
Yeah, they don't hold back.
Like, when he's walking into that chamber full of people, didn't you kind of feel, like, claustrophobic?
A little claustrophobic. You also feel very conflicted at that point.
Like you just kind of want to get out of there right now?
Yeah.
Because there's just too many people in the room.
Yeah, and you feel, like, the tension that's kind of happening.
Yeah.
Without spoiling too much, there's a scene where he does something real badass in the desert.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very intense. And, like,
well, if you've seen the trailer, that's not going to spoil it.
Oh, is it in the him riding the sandworm is in the trailer?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so, he rides the sandworm. It's a huge deal. In the 1984 movie, it's a joke. He, like, hops up on it, and it just literally just looks like him standing on a still platform.
Yeah. And that's what it probably was.
And that's probably what it was.
But this is intense. Oh my God.
And with, like, just the way that it's shot,
with all of like the way that the sand is moving around and the intensity of how fast it's going and just the sheer volume of the soundtrack. Like, it's very much a movie you want to watch in theaters.
So this worm is plowing through a dune.
Yeah.
And it's like the biggest worm anyone's ever seen.
And these people see worms like every day.
Yeah. And they're like, no, don't jump on this worm. And he doesn't care.
Doesn't give an F, dude.
And so it's plowing through this dune, and he jumps through where it's plowed through this dune, and he's falling through the sand. And all you see is him and, like, a bunch of sand. It's amazing how they did that. I would really like to see how they did that.
Me too, how they shot that.
Yeah.
Definitely with stunt doubles. I mean, that's for sure. I feel like stunt doubles were in every other fucking scene in this movie.
Well, I'm pretty sure that was all CGI.
Well, maybe. Some of it. A good chunk of it.
But then when he actually, he lands on the worm, and he's got the hooks.
Well, that's probably all CGI, obviously.
And he's hooking into the worm, and but they're going like, those worms are going like probably 100 miles an hour.
That's what it seems like.
Because then when he actually gets up on it and he's like controlling it,
yeah,
the scenery behind him is just going like, it's like he's going 100 miles an hour.
It fucking feels, and it feels like I would tense up during that scene.
Yeah, I did too. I was like, I got tense. I was like, yeah. Ooh.
A lot of people have been theorizing as well how those worms actually move, because it doesn't, you know, they just launch themselves through the sand at 100 miles an hour. Now, I've seen a serious answer and a stupid answer. That is also still kind of possible. Do you want the stupid answer or the probably plausible answer first?
Well, let's start with the stupid answer.
So the stupid answer is they're saying that this worm is eating, because it eats the sand as it goes through. So it's eating it. It's eating all this sand, and it is shitting it out its backside at such a velocity that that's how it propels itself forward.
See, I don't think that might be
which is plausible. Because it does, I mean, the mouth is huge, and it has those giant teeth that kind of filter out the sand.
Like a whale.
Yeah, so is it possible that it's constantly consuming hundreds of tons of sand and consecutively shitting it out at the same time?
Well, it's
simultaneously.
Like the little desert particles that are actually edible.
Because they like,
or the spice, because it lives in the spice, or whatever. And the spice is like,
it's their fecal matter.
Yeah,
but still, so yeah, they're eating the. So that's the one possibility. The second possibility, I guess, it's just more relating to, I guess, the shitting. It does have to do with propulsion, but this the idea is more science that they have, and that they have all these like little air holes in their body. And then what they're doing is excreting air through the air holes. And with the rhythm, because like they're saying that maybe they have an internal rhythm, and that's why they're, because it matches their rhythm, and that's why they're attracted to rhythm.
Yeah.
So with the air and the rhythm, what they're doing is they're fissuring the sand. You know how like if you put like music underneath sand, like if you put sound underneath sand and like, pressure, how it basically turns into liquid. So they're saying that these worms are...
loses density.
Yeah, it loses all density. So they're saying they're doing this, turning the sand into like this fishery sand, and then just basically swimming through it.
Basically, it's like moving through water.
Yeah, that they're just swimming.
See, I agree with that one, because when you notice when he hooks into it and he pulls up, there are air vents.
Yeah, you see that there's like a bunch of like suction-y whole air vent looking things. So that's probably, I'm thinking that's how what it does.
Yeah.
Is it makes the area immediately around it
just
liquidy.
Yeah.
And then the additional air that it's pushing out is propelling it forward.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. Because, like, it can't be moving like a worm, because that's not, you see it just move straight forward.
Yeah. And then when they hook into it, they can pull up.
Yeah, they can physically
keep it from diving back down.
Yeah, and they wouldn't be able to do that if it moved like an actual worm or snake.
Yeah, and they ride these things like thousands of miles.
Yeah, which is, yeah, it's which, a very visually appealing. You know, even if you're not into super nerdy stuff, if you're into those kind of like action-y movies, it is just a very visually appealing movie to watch.
Oh, yeah. But the book, I mean, I'm going to start, well, they opened it up, there's going to be a third movie.
Yeah, if he gets around to it. They got
Denis Villeneuve.
Denis Villeneuve wants to make a third. He wants to do an adaptation of Dune Messiah, which would complete Paul Atreides' arc.
I want to say in the series, there's like six books.
What's his bucket?
Frank Herbert.
Frank Herbert wrote 8 of them. And then his son wrote a shit ton of others.
Okay, so there's at least 6 or 8 that are canon.
Yeah, well, so Brian Herbert, the books that he wrote were, like, I believe what I've heard is that they were, like, based off of his dad's general ideas from what it would...
Yeah.
You know, like, he, through conversations with his dad, he was like, his dad knew kind of the whole story of the Duneverse, but he just hadn't wrote everything down. Because it spans, like, hundreds of thousands of years. Then after his death, yeah, Brian went back. And I think it was based off of what his father's idea for everything was.
Well, the whole universe. And Frank Herbert didn't just write Dune.
No, he wrote other stuff. You said you read one of his books when you were a child.
I read The Lazarus Effect. And it was kind of in the same universe, but his books are like 350 pages long.
Yeah, they're big books.
And they're very confusing, and they're very...
Relatively.
They're very hard to read. It's a hard read.
It's tricky. For a long time, it was said to be the unadaptable books.
Yeah, they tried to adapt it and made a movie in the 80s.
Yeah.
With David Lynch.
Yeah. David Lynch is legendary. That movie sucks.
That was actually one of my favorite movies growing up.
It's so... I don't blame you. It's so bad, though.
Comparing it to the new one... Yes, it's very bad.
Even for what they had in that day's times. You forget, that movie came out in 1984. Mm-hmm. That's well after the Star Wars came out.
Yeah.
That movie is older, or is younger than Star Wars, and the graphics look like that. Star Wars looks like it could have been made maybe in the 90s or the 80s and 90s.
And the story that David Lynch came out with doesn't even compare to the story that
At first, Frank Herbert liked it. He wasn't alive when it... I think he was alive when it actually came out. At first, he liked it. But then he could not convince David Lynch to remain true and to go away from some things that were fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
David Lynch must have just misinterpreted the book, or a lot of people do this where they get a hero bias. They like a character of the book, so they're unable to just have any kind of nuance to it at all. Because the character Paul Atreides is supposed to be a warning for why you don't go after, you don't follow charismatic leaders, specifically charismatic cult leaders. Whether or not they're good, they're generally good or bad. You just don't do that.
Well,
because Paul Atreides isn't a bad person at the beginning of the movie.
No, and people aren't following him because he wants them to. In fact, he actively tries to get them not to.
In the beginning,
but then he drinks the water of life, and he sees the entire future.
And I think more and more people start following him.
Yeah, because he can, like, read people's minds.
And the whole reason he drinks the magic juice is because he's, at that point, he's partially convinced he's like, oh, well, I have to do it. It's my destiny, because many people around him are, that's the whole point of the movie.
He's talking to his sister, who's in his mother's womb.
Well, yeah, there's some... Yes, there is some weird psycho-spiritual
it's out there.
But the actual point of the book was a warning against fanatic religious teachings.
Huge spoilers as we get deeper into it, by the way.
Well, and before he drinks the water of life, which may be a metaphor for something, he is totally against it. He's like, no, I don't want to go to the South because these people will follow me.
I feel like it is a direct metaphor for something. This is pure speculation, but I feel like it's straight up metaphor, like straight up representative of drinking the Kool-Aid. In fact, I think it's a one-to-one literally, here's this thing, here's the pinnacle of our belief. If you want the ultimate knowledge, if you want to be the ultimate figure, then you have to drink this thing that'll kill you. But then you're going to come back as this magical thing, or then you're going to get all this knowledge. That's literally drinking the Kool-Aid. I've just made that connection. I guarantee you that's what he based that off of. I guarantee you now. I'm convinced that it's literally supposed to be a metaphor for drinking the Kool-Aid.
Okay, this is total spoilers, so, you know, if you haven't seen it, you're not probably a big fan. So,
we've gone... Well, no, it's been like 3 days. We're going to have to post something up earlier that we've now spoiled, dude.
Okay, so in the movie, he is actively against being the leader. He's like, no, I'm just a fighter. I'm not going to the South because those guys are religious zealots and they will follow me. And I had this vision that billions of people will die if they start following me.
Yeah.
And then he drinks the water because his sister... who isn't even born yet.
Is in the womb.
Because his mother drank the water of life while she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And the reverend mother that she took over for said, what have we done? She's pregnant.
Yeah, and they don't really go into it. But basically what that means is that this child, before it's even born, has all of the full... It isn't a child, like it has the consciousness of a reverend mother.
Yeah.
So it just, and we have to move on because we're getting too into it. Anyone who hasn't watched Dune is probably stopped listening.
It is so much better than Star Wars.
It is, but the lore is very complicated. It's very in depth. I'll say this quick. Basically, the Bene Gesserit are magic nuns. And the idea is that a reverend mother has the memory, basically the consciousness and memories of all the other reverend mothers.
So when one dies, they pass on their knowledge to the next one.
Yeah, it's not dissimilar to the idea of like an oral story. The trope of having a person who has knowledge in a tribe or in a group and passing that on to another is not uncommon. That happened.
No, that's fairly common.
With oral storytellers, historians, etc., etc. But that's basically what this concept is. So yeah. And so that she has a baby that's born that basically is as smart as she is.
Unborn, but while...
But it is, when it is born as smart as she is. And, you know, all that. So yeah, it gets really weird. But if you haven't seen it, go watch it.
I hope they make the Dune Messiah. In fact, I'm going to read that book.
Go read it. It's huge.
That's enough Dune talk.
That's enough fucking Dune. Oh, but so we're having the black and tans. I hate it.
If you really want to see a great CGI special effects movie, just go see it.
Okay, we've endorsed Dune. Actually, I will go on a little bit. Not on Dune. Timothy Chalamet won't stop. Apparently, he's on his conquering Hollywood phase. So he's just been at Wonka, just came out within, the last few months?
Yeah, I watched it.
Then Dune 2 came out.
Yes.
Now, not too long from now, we've already started getting clips and stuff for this biopic he's doing about Bob Dylan.
Oh, I could see him playing Bob Dylan.
I also see him playing Bob Dylan. He kind of looks like Bob Dylan if he had bad face. If Timothy Chalamet puts on some bad facial hair. I personally don't like Bob Dylan. I don't hate him,
why don't you like Bob Dylan?
Flying up to the cuckoo's nest, and we're trying our best.
What did he do to you that you don't like?
What did you just... That's what I just did was basically every song that he's ever done.
Pretty much.
That's not singing.
But why would you not like him?
I don't love his music. Well, then
clarify, I don't like his work.
I don't love his music. Okay. You know what? No, now I'm going to go even further. I fucking hate Bob Dylan.
Why?
Bobby D, I'm coming for
you. What'd he do to you? Did he step on your lunch or what?
His ass is mine.
Well, that could be taken a few ways.
Bobby D is getting done in. But anyway, Timothée Chalamet's in everything. He's probably going to end up being one of the Leonardo DiCaprio's or Ryan Reynolds's of his age.
I don't know. I mean, he was good in Dune. He was good in Wonka, but he wasn't great.
Well, are you shitting on him? I'm just kidding. I don't have a hard on.
He is a young kid. He's got a lot of years left. But I just don't see him as being right now. He did a great job as Paul Atreides.
Mm-hmm.
He did a pretty good job as Willy Wonka.
He's supposed to be playing an untraumatized, unhardened, optimistic young version of Willy Wonka, and that he does perfectly.
Did you watch it?
I've seen some of it, not all of it.
Oh.
But people do not realize that the Willy Wonka that Gene Wilder was playing was not Willy Wonka as his actual self. It was a version of Willy Wonka that had been paranoid and had grown to become apathetic and disillusioned to the point that when we see him, his factory had been closed for 20 years. Meaning he had spent 20 years by himself with a bunch of orange little creatures that all they do is dance and sing. That's not going to make you crazy?
Yeah, that would.
That's not going to harden you up a little bit? Make you a little kooky and crazy in the eyes? A
little bit.
In my opinion, Timothée Chalamet is the actual version of Willy Wonka. That's who Willy Wonka was before he started to, because he's like, I'm going to start a factory. It's going to be wonderful. I'm going to give all this good stuff to people.
And at the end, he did have a factory.
Yeah, and then what happens in the between those two movies? All these people are trying to steal my recipes. I can't keep making all my inventions if I can't make any money because all these chocolate makers are trying to steal my shit.
Okay, so he had made like the best chocolates in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kept trying to better himself and come up with better and better ideas.
Mm-hmm.
He still made the regular chocolates, the Wonka bar and the.
Mm-hmm.
But then he came up with the Everlasting Gobstopper.
The Everlasting Gobstopper classic.
And he was trying to do better and better. And apparently in that period of time, he just went crazy.
Yeah, because he's a crazy person.
Yeah, he wasn't in this Wonka.
That's...
I just explained
the whole take on that.
Well, I'm agreeing with you.
Sort of. You're saying he went crazy because he kept trying to better and better himself. I think that's maybe a part of it, right? But what I was saying is that he's doing this, he's trying to make his chocolate, he's trying to give this to everyone, and he's saying, all these chocolatiers are now all of a sudden trying to steal my recipes. What the fuck? Now my fucking employees are literally stealing and spying from me, and he's this whimsical, fun person. That's going to harden a person up over years. And then he spends 20 years by himself doing the same shit.
With the Oompa Loompa.
Which is Oompa Loompas.
Because
he fires all of the human employees because they started becoming spies and stealing fucking stuff from him.
Well, yeah, because who's his rivals? I'm losing it.
Slugsworth. That's it.
No, they're in this recent movie there were three.
Oh, I don't know.
But in the original movie, it was just Slugsworth.
Yeah,
so.
And even then, it wasn't because that was just fake. Or maybe I guess Slugsworth was real, but the guy who
I liked the movie.
Slugsworth.
It was fun. It's a musical.
Yes, it was
like the original.
I just don't like it when people are saying that Timothée Chalamet's too soft or isn't like Gene Wilder enough. because that's not the point of the movie.
No, it's him just, he was so charismatic and wanted to do good, and he believed in people. He actually, like, was so naive.
Yeah.
That he got trapped into a thing and had to figure his way out and get other people out of this. And yeah, so I can see when they go to the next movie, Gene Wilder movie, mm-hmm. Well, he's kind of hardened in the heart.
Yeah, we're seeing young 20-year-old naive
and
Willy
at the
Wonka
end of that movie
versus he's, old cynical Willy Wonka.
He's looking for someone who had his heart when he was that age.
Yeah, and doesn't Charlie Bucket come off as awful Timothy Chalamet-y?
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Willy Wonka's actually the perfect prequel.
I think it is.
I
like it.
The perfect villain origin story. Because Willy Wonka is a villain in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Let's be fair. He is the villain of that story.
Yeah, if you look at the story, yeah, he would be the villain.
He is the main antagonist of that story.
Yeah.
I mean, truly lunatic. I don't believe that he knew whether or not most of those children had lived. I truly believe he did not care or know.
No, he was just like, okay.
And the only reason the movie showed them being alive is to avoid a moral public outrage.
Yeah.
But I don't think Willy Wonka gave a fuck or knew or gave a fuck whether or not those kids had lived. He just like, all right, well, they're gone. They're not worthy. Let's move on.
We'll go juice her. We'll squeeze her out. She'll be okay.
She'll be fine, probably.
Maybe.
I've never actually done it before because I've been alone for 20 years, but I probably could fix it if I remember to. But yeah, look at this. You can lick the fucking wall. That movie, I love that movie as a kid. I never realized just how fucking bananas most of the shit we were consuming as children was.
That is pretty crazy now that I think of it.
Yeah, we're sitting over here critiquing Dune for being weird. What the fuck was Willy Wonka?
That is pretty... I mean,
people were just taking acid
trips
and writing books back in the day.
He was just like, okay. I'm just looking for my heir apparent. And you're not it. You're not it.
Hey, give it to him. At least he's focused. He's efficient. Very efficient way to figure out, I guess. Actually, no. It's a really bad way to figure out who's worthy of running your factory.
Yeah, pretty much.
Willy Wonka is a lunatic person.
Yeah. Well, you spend 20 years alone.
Well, that's the whole point.
With little orange men.
But truly, who picks their successor that way? What criteria was even shown by surviving not... Tell me how being able to keep your hands off shit and then not even being able to do that, but being able to be honest about not keeping your hands off shit means that you have the creativity to come up with wonderful new recipes, that you have the business savvy to run a international billion-dollar chocolate empire, and the business know-how to run an army of orange men chocolatiers.
Well, you have to think.
Those skills don't translate.
No, they don't. But all the normal people that show up there for the tour, the parents and stuff, they're like, this guy's nuts.
This guy's legitimate. If I was a parent, I would have turned around immediately.
But you're automatically pulled on his side. When actually, you probably shouldn't be.
I don't think I would. This guy comes out in a lavish purple suit. First of all, we're normal. It's not like this takes place in the 1300s. It's like 1960. And this guy fucking, or 1940 or whatever.
Yeah, something around there.
And this guy fucking comes out in a dapper fucking pimp coat, nice pants and a fucking top hat, and then does a full somersault, sticks his cane in the ground, does a full somersault, stands up, like, all right, kiddo, sorry, you're not sailing Chocolate Factory today. This is a lunatic, man. This is a crazy person.
Oh, we just got that so wrong as kids.
We misjudged that movie entirely. Willy Wonka was an aspirant. Now I know why I'm so messed up. I aspired to be like Willy Wonka as a child.
And he's a He was actually not a good person.
Because he's the Candyman,
but
dude.
He was looking for the good person.
He was looking for a good person.
And he found him in Charlie Buckets.
And then he effectually trained him and turned him probably into a bad person.
Well, you know, we'll see.
Notice how we've never done a sequel on Willy Wonka.
No, that's coming, though, I bet.
Have you ever seen... what's that movie? Snowpiercer? It's like a dystopian train movie.
I love that movie.
There's a weird theory that the train conductor, the man who made the train, is Charlie Buckets. Because you notice the big symbol on the train is WW.
No, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, if you ever, when he makes it to the final carriage, a little breakdown of the movie, by the way. It's a dystopian train. Basically, the whole world has been frozen over. This inventor was smart enough to build a train that can run forever. And basically, so the whole world is like a frozen tundra, and there's a giant train that just goes around the world forever.
Constantly.
And you have like this horrible, proletariat class in the back that lives in like squadron conditions. Just eat like horrible shit, beetles and crap. Anyway, so he works his way through the train or whatever. So the idea is that he has this train that goes around. When you get into the main engine, you see the giant WW in the same font that Willy Wonka's in, right?
Ooh, I'll have to rewatch that.
So they say he could have just, since his name wasn't, and they explain that his name was like Walter Walton or whatever.
Yeah.
But they could have said like, oh, Charlie Buckets just changed his name to be alliterative like Willy Wonka's. He just chose something like that that was alliterative and had W's. And then the kicker, the thing that almost gets me is how is the train run? Well, there's a small compartment in the engine that a child-sized individual goes into and runs the controls, and that's how it's able to keep going forever.
Yeah.
Well, what size are Oompa Loompas in the first movie that we watch? About child size.
Well,
is it possible that Oompa Loompas are extinct, and so we had to start using children instead of Oompa Loompas to run the train?
Well, could be.
That's one movie theory I kind of buy into.
I can kind of see that.
It's really out there. Probably absolutely not what the writer of Snowpiercer had in mind. But
I like the movie. They did try and do a series on it.
Did it work at all?
Not so well.
That's fair enough.
But the movie was actually pretty good. So you had the lower class in the very back, and they did all the work. And then as you moved towards the engine, it was like a better class, middle class, and then upper class.
Yes. And there were a shit ton of different train cars throughout the train. It was a fun movie. It's a really fucking nuts movie.
There were like train cars that grew food. There were train cars that grew animals to feed everybody. And the train just went, it just kept going around the world. Which, I don't know, I never really got that. I mean, I think you could have done that like stationary and not been on a train. But, you know, okay, good movie.
Well, no, because the whole point is that it's a frozen tundra.
Yeah, but you could have built a complex and achieved all of that.
I don't know. It's a fun movie.
Yeah, it's a fun movie.
I think the idea is that the train is producing power by moving. I don't know.
I don't know, but at the end, things kind of melt and people get out.
Stop spoiling movies.
That's been out for like 10 years.
Not everyone's seen it.
Well, if you haven't seen Snowpiercer...
The only thing you're allowed to spoil is the Bible.
Well...
Because everyone knows, you know, how the Bible goes.
I don't know.
Imagine if someone didn't. Imagine someone gets mad, a guy who gets mad that you spoiled the Bible. What? He died? Dude, I wasn't done reading that yet. It took me 3 years to read the Old Testament, dude. I was finally on the new one. He died? Are you fucking kidding?
Okay, we need a break right now.
I really like this Judas guy.
I hope
he turns out good. All right, yeah, you're right. We'll be right back in 3 seconds.
That was good.
And back. I've peed. You've peed.
Yes, I did.
Do you feel better?
Pretty good.
Good. I'm drinking Fresca, not a sponsor.
No, but they should be.
They should be. Reach out to us.
You did taste a little bit of your Black and Tan.
It's just not good.
Well, you don't like the beer.
I do not endorse this drink. Don't
drink
it. So
you're not Irish.
My last name is Cunningham.
That's Scottish.
It's Scots-Irish.
I think your mom is Irish.
And my mother's Irish.
Because you do pronounce but.
Good. How the fuck you dare me call me fucking not Irish?
You
I got it in my goddamn blood.
But.
I say but just like anybody else.
But.
Just like anyone else.
But I don't know.
That wasn't a good. You shut your fucking mouth when you're talking
to me
like
that. I'll take
a
pint.
I'll take a pint and a half, actually. How has your week been? I asked you how your day was, but not your week.
You always ask me how my week
was. I like to know how your week is. I don't get to talk to you a lot throughout the week.
My week is always shitty. It's always crap.
Well, make it better. It's your job to take your life into your hands.
Yeah, sometimes you can't do that. You just have to eat it.
You have to picture the goal. I'm trying to be Tony Romo. You have to picture the goal you want. I can't do his voice.
Tony Romo?
No. Who's the giant?
Tony Robbins?
Tony Robbins.
Oh, he's got a deeper voice.
Yeah, he's like, no, I cannot. Because it's like wispy, but also like deep.
Yeah, I don't
It's know. One of those. If anybody can be, do a Tony Robbins impression, reach out. I'm willing to pay good money.
I could do it if I listen to him for a little bit.
I don't believe you.
I could. You want to take a break and I'll do it?
No, we just took a break. What's with you tonight?
Well.
I swear, it's like I'm co-hosting with a friggin' bucket of water today.
It's St. Patrick's Day.
You shouldn't drink all day when we pod.
It's St. Patrick's Day.
You shouldn't drink all day when we pod.
Drank the Black and
we
Tan.
We shouldn't pod about St. Patty's
Yangling,
Day.
Had corned beef.
Your corn. It's not even the beer, you're just corned beefed up.
I am corned beefed
up. Wake the fuck up, father. My dearest father.
Now, I made corned beef this week, and you ate it all.
It was delicious. I didn't even get that much.
And then I got more today, so I'm corned beefed up.
I ate 20 pounds of corned beef on my
birthday. Well, there were 7 pounds and 3 of you, and you managed to eat almost all of them.
Good. It should not have gone to waste.
So the story, and you were saying that this isn't, the allegory is that St. Patrick drove the snakes out of Ireland.
That's what they say.
And you're saying he drove the pagans out of Ireland.
The pagans, the Gaelic druids that used to inhabit Ireland, that had many wonderful traditions. It is said that the general group of druids, not from Ireland, but from around Wales, is where Imrys Myriad, otherwise known as Merlin, came out of. And they were all murdered. By St. Patrick.
And we celebrate that by drinking.
And every single year we drink to celebrate the St. Patrick, who marched into Ireland and killed all of the pagans. It's an absolute atrocity, but cheers.
Well, I'm reading here, Ireland has never had snakes.
No, it's not known for a place. It's not known for snakes.
Because of the Ice Age and because they're an island and the land bridge melted during the Ice Age, they have never had snakes.
I'm very surprised you don't know this. I've always considered you to be a curious person. You like tidbits. You like things
like this.
I've
never really looked into this because St. Patrick's Day was always about
it's just
going
the drinking
out
holiday,
and getting plastered and,
mm-hmm.
and kissing the rock out in front of the bar,
mm-hmm.
which sometimes had like used gum on it.
Mm-hmm.
And probably spit, and homeless people kiss.
Mm-hmm.
But we did that because it was fun.
Kiss the piss rock, or you're not Irish.
So, they have never found any snake fossils, any evidence of snakes in Ireland.
There's no snakes. I'm telling you, it's pagans. Why don't you believe in me?
There are a few other countries that don't have snakes.
Okay, is this what we're at? You're more focused on the snakes.
Some countries have sea snakes.
What is a sea snake?
Well, they live in the sea.
That sounds like a gross euphemism.
Well, they live in the sea. Most of Canada doesn't have snakes.
Well, that makes sense. It's cold. I would argue there's probably not snakes in Russia either.
There are, but not in northern Russia.
Fair.
So, it's kind of weird. It's like...
that there's not snakes in cold places? How is that weird? Well,
you think they would adapt and evolutionize. But apparently snakes can't do that.
No, they're warm-blooded.
And that brings me to another point.
Maybe they will in a million years.
Scientists want us to eat more python.
Let's do it. I'm down. I'm down to eat some python. You wouldn't? Why are they saying that?
I would probably eat python.
Well, why are they suggesting we eat python?
Because pythons, they can feed them very little, and they grow very fast, and their meat, which is white meat, is very high in protein.
How high?
Very high.
Well, what's their breeding pool like? How quickly do they breed?
It's very good.
They breed a lot? How many babies per batch?
Well, I don't know that.
Well, you have a laptop right in front of you!
Yeah, well, the article doesn't say anything like that.
Give me some back and forth, goddammit!
Okay, so pythons, their feed to weight ratio.
Okay.
Is very efficient compared to like cows, pigs, even chickens.
Similar to livestock, you're saying.
There are python farms in Eastern Asia.
But not in America?
Because they do eat python in Eastern Asia. But the rest of the world, not so much.
A little taboo.
So within a year, they can feed these snakes very little. And they're up to market weight in a year.
Damn.
They also don't excrete poop or urine. I mean, it's minuscule amounts.
But they have two dicks.
It doesn't say anything about dicks. But
do you know that for every snake on planet Earth, there are two dicks? And you would think, or for every snake on Earth, there is a dick. And you would think that means that every snake on Earth has a dick, but only male snakes have dicks, which means that every snake has two dicks. Or every male snake has two dicks, which is a true fact. Every male snake has two dicks.
Okay. Well,
so do you really want livestock with two phalluses?
Apparently, it's very easy to grow them. There are some snake farms that grow them.
Uh-huh.
It's very efficient. They produce very little waste. And their meat is very high protein.
Yes.
And I've never tasted python meat.
I wouldn't think it'd taste awesome. But I don't know.
In Eastern Asia, apparently it's a delicacy.
I mean, I'll try it. A python steak? I'd try it. A pie steak?
I don't think you'd get a steak.
I want a steak.
Because I think...
cut off a slab of steak.
Maybe a big one you could...
I want a snake steak.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to get that.
Give me a snake steak.
But it could be a very reasonable solution to feed poor countries.
That's fucked up.
And also very good for the climate.
Here, poor people, eat snake. Here's some snake. Don't have beef like the rest of us. Eat snake.
Well,
eat the thing that we compare to the devil.
Even if
you poor people.
Even if we could get rid of some of our beef, our livestock.
Yeah, how about we just stop wasting hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of pounds of food a day? You go into any grocery store. I don't think people recognize how big of a problem this is.
The fact it's a huge problem.
That our world operates on waste, specifically America. I know about America. I don't know about the rest of the world. I'm not cultured. We waste so... Our system is based on surplus. So you go to a grocery store, anything that does not sell by the expiration date is just thrown out. And you're like, well, whatever. Well, that's a little bit. No, because these grocery stores are ran by people who don't have, you know, not that, who gives a fuck produce. If you have a college degree, but they're ran by people who don't give a, you know, don't give a fuck.
I mean, how many times have you bought, like, produce, used a little bit of it, and then the rest sits until it rots, and then you're like,
I guess it's produce specifically is the huge problem, and also meat departments. You have these people, you have these huge, like, up corporate ladders who's never actually worked in a grocery store a day in their life, who make all these decisions, right? Or you have these people who are, you're just guessing, and it's hard to, it's just hard to guess sometimes to figure out exactly how much you need of whatever. So you have all this extra every single day. They just throw out all this meat and all these vegetables, and they toss out all this bread and all this shit across the country every single day.
Millions of pounds of food are just being thrown into the landfill.
Restaurants do that. And a lot of places, it's like a legal obligation because it's like a write-off or something. Or it's a, I guess it's a, you can get sued. Like, if you give somebody food and they didn't pay for it, then there wasn't, like, a, there wasn't any contract there.
Yeah. Right?
So, like, they could just come back and sue you.
I could see a better way of doing it, but I don't think it's profitable for stores.
It doesn't, that doesn't make any sense, because if they're already throwing away the food... The well, only reason they're doing
if they
it is
were much more efficient, legally. They wouldn't have to add that cost to the food that you actually buy.
They don't even have to, and I'm not even saying like, yeah, give all the food away. Because sure, you give it to your local food shelters to an extent, but like in a town of Fremont, 30,000, our grocery stores can't just offload food into our homeless. We don't have enough homeless people for that. It'd be insane. You could just, if we worked on efficiency, then we wouldn't have to be wasting so much food, and then we wouldn't have to be making so much food. And then maybe we could make just as much food, and we could send that food elsewhere.
What if you had to put in a food order, like, a week in advance? Like, I need 3 of these onions. I need...
Oh, wait, one sec.
And we're back after a brief break because we're being joined by Emerus.
Hello.
The comedian.
Yeah, Emerus.
I think that's putting it a little heavy, but thank you.
A little heavy. You're a comedian enough.
Well, I don't know. I've only been doing it for a year, so I'm just kind of...
Yeah, but you've had some pretty big shows.
A year's long enough. You're still a comedian. A comedian enough.
You're putting in the work, so.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate hearing it.
You're dedicated. You're dedicated to this.
You're absolutely housing a potato.
I am, because somebody decided to eat all the
freaking corned beef. I did not.
Between you and Grandpa.
This is fucking character assassination.
Well,
it's been going on all day. Have it. Bring that mic up closer to your face. You're talking about now. You don't want ASMR things. Are you sure you don't like ASMR? Why are you talking so quiet?
I don't know. I don't feel like yelling.
Don't yell. Just talk in a normal voice.
Talking in a normal voice.
Tomf, tomf.
We're joined by Amaris today. My brother. My older brother. Kind of. Well, you know, you can fly off the name in months and time. Emotional maturity wise.
Am I really going to cut all this in? I feel like we should probably just start this over.
All of the pauses, all of the spaces. I'm not. Give me more energy. One of you.
Give me it.
I feel like I'm sitting. I'm not just talking to you.
I will. Give me just. I'm just letting you know. I'll reach your energy. Just give me like 2 seconds.
Let him eat the potatoes and cabbage.
Okay, then speak.
Boeing is kind of fucked right now.
Yeah, I've heard they've been having some problems.
They had a lot of problems recently, and now the FAA is up their ass like nothing else.
Well, what problems have they
had? Well, they had a plane that did a nosedive.
Ooh.
That hurt. And then they had a plane
that... They squeak.
the emergency door just flew off because the bolts weren't the right bolts.
Like mid-flight?
Yeah, mid-flight, plane did depressurize. It wasn't good.
So one of the, I can't remember what the guy's name, but he was a whistleblower in that situation, like from Boeing.
Yeah, and he
told them that they were like just grabbing scraps.
Yeah, and apparently he committed suicide.
What, like an Epstein situation? Or
like he's dead, but they're like, oh yeah, he committed suicide.
What, Boeing's out here killing people?
And now Boeing urges airlines to check their switches after a plane plunges.
Plunges? Crashes?
It didn't crash, but it took a deep nosedive.
Well, a little plunge is a little plunge.
No, it went down, and people flew up out of their chairs.
If it didn't touch the ground, there's nothing to complain about.
There were a bunch of people that needed medical attention. And also, one of their planes, like, a wheel fell off.
That's shoddy craftsmanship.
Yeah, so they're kind of under the gun right now. And now they're urging airlines to, like, maybe you should check our planes.
Hey, guys, get your shit together.
So I don't really want to fly anytime soon.
And, you know, I was literally just thinking the other day, because we've been wanting to take a trip, and I want to fly. Like, if we go out to Colorado, I want to fly so we can rent a car or whatever.
Yeah.
So it was a good time. I'm now terrified at the idea of flying for the first time ever.
Normally, you know, you get on a plane, and you're like, all right, this is normal.
I just don't like flying because it's annoying.
No, see, I love flying. I don't know what it is about it. There's something I enjoy.
You enjoy walking through a line of 30 people at 3 a.m. You enjoy taking your shoes off.
3 a.m. there is not 30 people. Have you ever flown at 3 a.m.?
No, but at 5 a.m. I have. There's 30 people there.
Compared to like hundreds. I love red-eye flights and I love early morning flights.
Because you're taking red-eye flights all the time. You're going from the east to the west coast at overnight all the fucking time.
No, but those morning flights are awesome because there's usually not that many people on them.
Hey, even so, I still have to take off my shoes.
You can get through the line really quick.
Escape my vape because they might be on one.
Never had that issue even flying out.
And then I got to sit in between people or I got to sit by people. I don't go on public transportation either. I'm a transportation snob. I like to man spread. I'm going to walk everywhere. Or boats.
Well, that's why early morning flights are great.
Private usually jets.
Not that many people on them. And you just,
calm down,
Taylor, you know.
I will fly. I just don't like flying. I'm allowed to not like flying, guys.
No, you're allowed to not like flying. I'm just saying.
It's annoying. And I don't know how you guys don't agree with that.
I don't mind it. I
think what I love about the airport is no rules apply. It could be 8 a.m. and I am ordering a medium rare steak from some weird off-the-wall restaurant, downing a beer like it's supper time. I don't give a shit. Yeah,
but we went to Georgia. I was having gin and tonics at like 9 a.m.
Yeah, I don't.
See, I love that culture.
I don't like day drinking.
I mean, it's really expensive, but
it is like a fucking $14 cocktail.
I don't know. I love people watching in the airport as well.
That part is fun.
I could sit and people watch in the airport. I could just walk around it. You know that movie? What's that movie where Tom Hanks' character is like stuck in
the terminal?
Yes. I could live in the airport. I could live in the airport.
I sat
and you can't just walk around, otherwise you'll miss your fucking flight if you turn around for 3 seconds. Sorry, sir, your flight's gone.
I sat in
I sat in
Chicago and we had like an hour or two layover.
Uh-huh.
And there was nothing really to do in an hour or two, so we just sat there. But the people that walked by, oh my God. It was so interesting.
You can't help but to think, like, wow, that's an interesting looking person. I wonder what they're traveling for. Like, what are they going to go do? Like, I am always wondering
that. Exactly. There,
I've seen some weird ass people that don't look like they could afford a plane ticket. And I'm like, ow.
Oh, we had some rappers on the flight, and they had, like, lanyards for a show.
There were rappers on the flight, and you didn't tell me?
No,
I didn't. I could have harassed them. I was asleep.
There was a drag...
I got as high as I possibly
could. There was a drag queen that walked by, and she had, like, goldfish in her high heels.
What a fucking
box. Like, live goldfish.
Well, that's beautiful. That's actually
cool. That was amazing. I really wanted to get up.
Does that not go over the water limit for the planes? Did she waste her like 16 ounces on her shoes?
She must have.
I would have. You know, it's funny. It makes me think of an American Dad episode where Klaus is literally in the heel of some dude's shoe. It looks so freaking cool.
But I like to fly. I fly fucked up. And it's not even, I don't even get flight anxiety. I think it's my ADHD. I get so fucking bored.
Does help sitting me still.
Yeah, I'm just sitting there on a plane. And I'm like, so I'm here for 3 hours. So I'm right here. Maybe I can go pee. I can get away with going pee. Maybe in like a 3 hour flight, get away with going pee. Well, one time without looking weird. If you go more than two times, I feel like people are thinking
you're... Yeah, more than two times would be weird.
They're like, that guy's doing coke.
or maybe...
You're not talented enough to do coke in the middle of a plane without having to get up and go to the bathroom. You shouldn't be doing coke.
Why are you acting like you do coke on planes?
I don't, but I'm just saying.
It's suddenly we started talking about planes and Embers became a 1970s stockbroker. I don't know what's happening. You're taking red eyes. You're doing coke on airplanes.
I was born in the wrong generation, man.
Apparently, you should have been on Wolf on Wall Street.
Should have been me.
No, planes are weird to begin with. But
well, I think it's weird. I think it's weird that we're just stuck on planes right now. We sound like a bunch of autistic kids, which no shade there. I just love that we're hyperfixated on it. Anyway, no. So you used to dress up to get on a plane.
You know, oh, yeah, you would put on a suit.
They used to make meals, like real meals. Listen, I'm not going to lie. It's a 50-50 trap shot. I think airplane food tastes okay. At least the stuff I had on my way over to Amsterdam, it was not bad.
I've never actually been on a long enough flight for an in flight.
How long was that flight? That was a 9-hour flight.
Jesus.
I think I went to the bathroom a total of maybe 3 times.
And that's probably a socially acceptable amount of times.
And it,
a 9-hour flight?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And it was nice because we left at night, like over here at like 7 or whatever. We got over to Schiphol Airport in the Netherlands at about like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning. So we were able to just like, we slept on the plane, wake up there, and just hit the ground running for the day.
Did you stay up all night the night before? That's the only way I'd be able to do it.
So I stayed up, kind of, technically. The night before I went to Amsterdam was a crazy fucking night.
Did you, like, go partying or something?
Actually, yeah. Because there was a street dance in Bali at the bar, that the saloon or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I went there with one of my friends. Ended up
Bruce meeting, Street Tavern?
Yes, Bruce Street Tavern. Went there and met this older lady. Ended up going back to her apartment with her, knowing that I have not packed and I have to fly out the next morning at 1 a.m.
Oh boy, I've done that before.
Oh my God, it was so fun. Worth it! At 7 a.m., I wake up to the sound of her ex-boyfriend banging on the door.
That's hilarious.
Had to play it off. I was just like, oh, I was so fucked up. Thank you for letting me crash here. Blah, 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 blah. Sprinted to my car, raced home.
You almost packed, got cut.
Packed for 2 weeks in Amsterdam in 2 hours. and still made it to the airport before everybody else in my group.
That's productive.
That is why I am still a procrastinator.
Procrastination pays off.
I would, if when I fly to Europe, it's got to be first class.
Next time I go to Europe, it will be first class. I will never pay to sit in business or economy ever again. That was an absolute nightmare. I had to sit next, like, I don't know who was on my left, but my friend was on my right, and then the aisle was right there. Honey was throwing up on the plane, and a lot of it towards the end was just water, and that's when some splashed, like, on my jacket that I brought. I wanted to, oh my God. That was just horrible.
I would have to fly first class, because
I don't like wasting the money.
No, it's worth the money, Seth.
It'd be worth the money.
Though. They're expensive, those flights.
Oh, yeah. It'd be like $6,000-$7,000. But
on one flight, that's so much money to spend on one flight.
Yeah, but you're in the air for like 9 hours. You might as well be
pampered. I feel like boat, you know, would be cheaper.
It may be cheaper, but it's going to take you longer. And sure. I don't know if you have sea legs.
I could take a whole voyage. How? Honestly, nothing you've said in my entire life has offended me more than that. And I don't know why. I don't have sea legs.
I don't know if you can take a boat from the United
States. You can.
To Europe? I'm sure you can.
Did you know you can take a boat to Antarctica with National Geographic?
Be there.
I want to go to Antarctica. Do you want to go to Antarctica?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go to Antarctica.
I don't care.
I don't know. You might be able to. I just don't think it's a commercial thing anymore.
I'll hop on a cargo ship. Look it up right now.
Yeah, it would probably be a cargo ship.
I want to do a real voyage.
And then you would have to, like, do some work while you're
there. You guys in your fancy airplanes, I want to experience the travel.
No, I want to take
It ain't about the destination. It's about the journey.
I want to take some Xanax.
And I have no idea.
I want to take some Xanax, a couple drinks, and have a nice dessert and just chill out in a big seat and just, like, fade away until I get there.
I'm proud of you. You guys are stronger mentally than me.
I just don't think I want to fly while Boeing's going through all of these issues.
Yeah.
No, well, I'll probably hold off. Sort that shit out. Or at least on, you know, fuck that.
I will say, I wish the United States had a better train system. I would love some high-speed rails. I loved that when I was in Europe. I got super lucky, actually. So I got a first-class ticket for my ride from Amsterdam to Paris. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I didn't have to sit next to anybody. I had a little table to myself. I got snacks. Everybody else in my group was sitting in coach, it kind of made me feel good. On the way back, though, I did have to sit with a mom and her two daughters, like, probably old enough to be like my mom's and like grandma.
Yeah.
They did not speak a lick of English, and they were like having a little lunch and shit, and I'm just this little American kid just sitting over in the corner by the window, like, I had no idea what to fucking do. I felt trapped.
Became your best friend.
I did not talk to him, not once. I was so terrified.
Oh my God, that's funny. I can see you do. I'm picturing you.
Right now. I put my headphones on and I just stopped. Like, it was just a 2 hour long panic attack.
Yeah, trains are beautiful, but that's not going to happen for a long time. We're getting ready to wrap up here. Any last sentiments, Emers?
Not at the moment. Add? No.
Dad, anything you wanted to touch on before we depart for the evening?
I had one other thing if you wanna hear about it.
Well, that sounds like you're really trying to get me to talk about it, so let's talk about it.
Okay. That's
cool.
Your mom had Lyme disease. And it fucked her up.
Okay, it does.
Now they have a chewable tablet. It's about to be FDA approved. That will keep you from getting ticks.
I like it.
So, if you take this tablet, it's chewable, and it lasts for like 2 or 3 years.
Damn.
And it will keep a tick from biting into you.
Birth control for ticks?
Yeah.
I like it.
So, Lyme disease, gone.
Lyme disease is gone, kind of, if you take the tablets.
Yeah, you gotta take the tablets.
I'm sure they'll be price gouged.
I'm not gonna deep into it.
Well, there you have it, folks. If you're going camping, pop a tablet so you don't get ticks. Even though when I was a kid, my favorite part of camping was pulling the ticks off my body. It's kind of gross, but it's also kind of satisfying. It's satisfying.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
No.
I do know about that. I also know about how grateful I am that you're all listening. Thank everybody. Tune in, listen to all of our, or not listen to, but check into all of our socials at Speakeasy with Seth and Scott. My name is Seth.
On Facebook. And I'm Scott. And thanks.
Thank you to Amaris for joining us.
Thank you for having me, guys. It's always a good pleasure to be on the show with you guys.
And just and remember,
we love Speakeasy Nation.
We do that. But also, don't spoil the Bible.
Did you just say don't spoil the Bible?
Yeah, it was a whole thing earlier. We were talking about spoiling.
How do you stop that one?
Bibles. You hit the stop button.